Welcome to our first and hopefully last podcast. I'm Taylor, and I'm with Cole. Today we'll be talking about 25 players in the NBA that are even more horrible at life than us for simply making this podcast. First, I'll start out with T-Mac. T-Mac was very good in his earlier years, but now he's been injury-plagued for a few years, and Cole has something to say about that.
See, my problem with Tracy McGrady is the fact that he thinks he's old. He's not that old, he's only 30-something, but he decides that he would rather be injured than play in the playoffs. He plays the regular season, and then he'll go to the playoffs and fake an injury. I don't really know what his plan is, but it simply will not work.
Next, we have Anthony Johnson on the list. See, I just don't like Anthony Johnson because he just simply has no neck. His shoulders go right up to his ears. Cole has another reason for something that happened in the playoffs.
Okay, Anthony Johnson, in the playoffs, he was had to be asked by Jameer Nelson if Jameer Nelson can play. What right does Anthony Johnson have to tell Jameer Nelson he can't play? Jameer Nelson is an all-star. Anthony Johnson is somebody that can't even start for a college team, nevertheless play in the NBA.
Oh, my God. All right, next we have Tots, a.k.a. Gortat. I personally like him because he's just a random player on the Magic's on the Magic that play in the playoffs. I just saw him for the first time, and he had some hustle. Cole has other reasons for disliking him.
Okay, Gortat is a prime example of somebody that I do not like. His name is Jerome James. See, Gortat had a couple playoff games where he played, and now he's a free agent this year, and he's going to go out and get the mid-level exception from a team. Well, he does not deserve it. He is going to play, stay on the bench, and he's going to get paid $5 million a year to do absolutely nothing. Besides for the fact that he's white, this clearly is not going to work.
Wow. Someone's mad. All right, next we got Sasha Vujicic. I don't like him because even though he was in the NBA for like 6 years, he still lived with his parents, and then when he finally moved out, he moved back in like 3 months later. What is that all about? Cole, do you have anything?
Okay, Vujicic used to be a good scorer, but he suddenly declined his play just for the reason that he didn't want to play anymore. He's just a role player that can't even play a role anymore. He should be overseas on the bench. On the bench. Not starting overseas, on the bench. He is not an NBA caliber player, and it is shown by watching him.
I'd also like to mention he shot 15% in the playoffs. Next, we got Paul Pierce. My problem with Paul Pierce is that he's a superstar in the NBA, but it takes him 5 minutes to honestly just drive to the hole. He is the slowest and most unathletic superstar that's ever been in the NBA. Do you have anything?
Paul Pierce is a good player. He's a good slasher, and he's a good shooter. He is the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics roster, so what you're saying has no grounds.
He's good for what, though? I guess running out the clock with his drives. I mean, really?
He's good for scoring. What the hell are you talking about?
Scoring what?
Baskets!
He's still unathletic and just not very coordinated. Plus, he's fat, and he's not ripped. He's not toned at all. It's just bad. It's, God damn it. All right, next we got Big Baby. Really, though, he made one shot, and he honestly thinks he's top tier in the NBA. What is that all about? Not to mention, he has the biggest underbite when he scores. He's just horrible. And
are you going to talk about KG or what?
Yes, Glenn Davis is actually a decent player. He's a good role player. He can score, and he hustles. He's a good rebounder. He's a decent player. He led his team in college to a national championship, and he's just a good player.
He can't dunk, and he cries when people yell at him. Next, we have Scally. Scally is awesome. He is the most out-of-shape white guy in the NBA. He's fat, he has red hair, but he still somehow plays. That just bewilders me. I really don't know. Got anything?
He plays because Doc Rivers is a fucking moron. He should not play. He doesn't have any talent. He wants to be Brian Cardinal. That's his hero in the NBA. That's what he is striving to be. He wants to be that role player that helps without actually helping. He just wants to be on the team.
All right, Scally's good, from Cole. All right, next we got Vladimir Radmanovich. My only beef with him is that he injured himself snowboarding. Really? Come on!
And then he lied about the accident and said that he fell down the stairs. You really think he fell down the stairs? And if he did, why would he want to tell people that? I mean, it's come on. And then he got traded to the Charlotte Bobcats for nothing other than Adam Morrison. Adam Morrison, come on. You got to retire after you get traded for Adam Morrison.
Is that better or worse than Randy Wynn getting traded for a manager?
Worse.
All right, next we have Dwight Howard. Recently, I added him as a fan on Facebook, and that was possibly the biggest mistake of my life because he honestly updates his Facebook every minute of the day. Every single minute. Plus, he can't make a jump shot, and he has a lot to go before getting good in the NBA. What do you got?
Dwight Howard is a superstar player. He is the best center in the NBA. And yes, I do agree that his Twittering is ridiculous because nobody wants to know that he ties his shoes. But still, he is a good player.
All right, next we got Big Gay Al from the Minnesota T-Wolves. What do you got? I'll let you go first.
Al Jefferson is the biggest garbage scorer in the NBA, possibly NBA history. He reminds me of Sharif Abdul-Rahim. He used to score 18 points a game for the Hawks every season because he was all they had. Al Jefferson, as soon as he plays with a good player, he will be nothing. He won't do one damn thing, and he will just slowly fade out of the NBA like somebody else I like to talk about, Michael Olakande. That's who Al Jefferson is. He's a garbage scorer, nothing more, nothing less.
Personally, I would compare him more to a poor man's Zach Randolph because they both averaged 20-10 for horrible teams. All right, next we got Randy Foy. My beef with him is that it's not really him that is bad. He's just not as good as he thinks he is, and everyone thinks he's gonna be. He's been in the league for what, three, four years now,
something like that,
and he's still not good. Come on, he hasn't even really developed at all. I really don't know why the T-Wolves traded Brandon Roy for a poor man's Brandon Roy. I don't know. You have anything?
Yes. See, my problem with Randy Foy is the fact that a couple years ago, we could have traded Randy Foy in a first-round pick for Allen Iverson. And instead of having Al Jefferson and Randy Foy leading our team right now, we could have had Kevin Garnett and AI. I don't understand. Maybe that was a good call by them. What do you people think? I don't think it was very smart because Kevin Garnett is the best power forward in the NBA. Allen Iverson does get hurt a lot, but he's still better than Randy Foy. I mean, look at Randy Foy. Just come on. Seriously.
Agreed. All right, next we got Mark Madsen. Mark Madsen is just worthless. He's really, really bad. He just takes pride in dancing. It's pathetic. And he just prides himself on going into game 82 every year, knowing he's going to launch up 3 3-pointers because the T-Wolves are out of the playoffs and just trying to lose that game. What do you got?
I would comment on this, but I don't know who Mark Madsen is, so.
All right. Next we got Mr. Double-Double, Ryan Gomes, and Cole's calling for it.
Okay, this is the problem with Ryan Gomes, is the fact that when he was with the Boston Celtics, he was nicknamed Mr. Double-Double. And the fact of the matter is he never scored 10 points, and he never got 10 rebounds. He was never had a double-double, maybe 3 out of 82 games. How does that earn him the nickname Double-Double? I really don't understand it. I really, really don't.
One thing about Ryan Gomes that I really, really don't like is that his goal in the game is just to get the ball to the three-point line, make sure he puts his foot on the line and shoots it so it's a two-pointer every time instead of a three. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but he's just been doing that the whole time. It's really, really horrible. All right, now we have Cole's favorite player in the NBA, Jerome James.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting. Jerome James is probably the most pointless player in NBA history. And yes, you did hear me, NBA history. He had 4 good games in the playoffs for the then Seattle Supersonics, and for some reason, people decided that made him a superstar. They decided that he was Shaquille O'Neal, and the New York Knicks signed him to a $35 million 5-year contract. And you know what? He hasn't even played 35 minutes, so $35 million might be a little bit overboard, I guess. I mean, he might be good in practice. I mean, he could be a good practice player. I didn't know you'd pay $5 million a year for someone to play in practice. I really don't understand how that helped the team one bit. But I guess they'd rather pay the luxury tax to have someone that can, I don't know, help Eddie Curry in practice, I guess. Even though Eddie Curry hasn't done anything, so maybe he's not good at that either. Well, he's the Chicago Bulls problem now, so I guess they are one of my least favorite teams in the NBA just for possibly having him on their team. I really don't know what to say about Jerome James other than I hate his life, I hate him, I hate everything about him, and I hate everything that the NBA stands for allowing him to fulfill this contract and not making the team release them. They should honestly have released him. Just pay him to go and sit at home because it's better than seeing him his fat ass sit on the bench.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's the Knicks for you. All right. Next, we got Joakim Noah. Is that how it's pronounced?
I really don't know. It could be Joakim. It could be Joakim. It could be I don't know what his name is.
And what's just horrible about him?
He doesn't even shoot the ball. He just throws it at the hoop. He honestly, I'm the worst basketball player ever, and I have better form than he does. I really don't understand how he does anything. Have you ever seen him shoot a free throw? He throws it from behind his back or some shit. I really don't get it. And look at his hair. Look at his face. Look at everything about him. Give me one positive about Joakim Noah other than energy. You can't find. I have energy. I could play for the Bulls. I mean, I really don't get it. I really don't.
Oh, my God. But he did win in college, though.
He won in college because he had Al Horford, he had Torian Green, he had Corey Brewer, he had a great supporting cast. It had absolutely nothing to do with him. The only thing he did was shoot three throws from his side. I mean, come on.
And his dad plays tennis.
I don't understand why you had to bring that up. I really don't. I was already mad about this topic, and you had to bring that up. Because he said they say that he has superstar lineage. I mean, it's a tennis player. Come on.
You also said Corey Brewer is a part of a great supporting cast. What's that all about?
Corey Brewer was good in college because he could play defense because everybody else was slow. He just can't do it in the NBA.
All right, next we got Kirk Heinrich. I don't like him. He's from Kansas. Kansas, oh my God, just bad. He's been growing on me over the years, but he's still dreadful. What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of my main negatives with players is the fact that they're whites, which means they're unathletic. It's just an automatic thing. I mean, you really can't be good in the NBA unless you're black. And the fact that Kirk Heinrich prides himself on being best friends with Nick Collison and going to Kansas is just really, really bad. And he was supposed to be this superstar player. He scored 20 points a game, and they still replaced him because he's that bad on defense. He doesn't pass the ball, and he's obviously not going to rebound. I mean, I really don't know what the point of him being on that team was. They're just going to let him go for nothing, and I just, yeah, good call. The Bulls finally made the right fucking decision.
And hopefully the T-Wolves pick him up because that'll improve their team. Oh, he's shaking his head. All right, next we got Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace, okay, he doesn't even have knees, not real knees anymore because I don't think he can dunk. I don't think he can do anything anymore. He averaged, what, 1 point a game, 10-plus rebounds a game, and like 2 blocks a game, and he was part of, he was a great defensive player. Well, right now, I wouldn't say anything is great about him.
He rebounded and he blocked shots, and they paid him $10 million a year to do that. I mean, really? Is that really what you want to do with Ben Wallace? I mean, he could never score, and that's what the team that signed him originally wanted, was scoring. The Bulls wanted him to score when they signed him to that contract, and he just can't do it. And as far as him being a great defensive player, yeah, at one time he was a great defensive player. But this year he wasn't. For some reason, Mike Brown decided to put him on Rashard Lewis in the playoffs. Rashard Lewis was out there shooting threes, and Ben Wallace was trying to guard him, I guess. I mean, Wallace was in one corner, and he was in the other. And it just, it really didn't make too much sense on how it was defense. But, I mean, he guarded him. If I remember correctly, Rashard Lewis kind of torched them in the OT. But, I mean, I guess it was a good call by Mike Brown because he's from Spurs tutelage, so.
What? All right, Shane Battier. I don't like Shane Battier because, A, he has a really, really bad face and forehead and head in general. Just bad. Also, he averaged like 30 points a game for Duke in college. Comes to the NBA, can't even average 5, and then just thinks he's a great defensive player just because he has hustle.
Okay, Shane Battier, one problem. Went to Duke. I mean, clearly gay. And as far as his actual playing ability, he's not good at anything besides being a leader. He does keep his team, I mean, he kept Ron Artest under control this season, which, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, because Ron Artest is actually a good player, so if you just have Shane Battier only there to babysit Ron Artest, it was a good move to have him. But unless that was your plan, it was really pointless to have Battier on your team, because he's not good.
All right, next we got Luis Scola. Really, he's just dreadful. He just thinks he's so fundamentally sound.
I'm stealing the mic here because I don't need to hear what Tay says because you need to hear what I say. Luis Scola is pointless. He was brought in overseas. He was traded by the Spurs to the Rockets to be the superstar player, the superstar power forward to help Yao Ming. He's not a superstar. Nobody thinks he's a superstar. The team that he was playing for over in Europe didn't think he was a superstar. And then he comes over here. He averages 8 points a game and 2 rebounds, and they decide that he is a superstar. They give him all this credit. The fans love him. What do they love him for? He does absolutely nothing. He just stands there. I'm done with this here. Take and actually finish his piece.
But he does have hustle.
Hustle does not mean shit in the NBA.
Oh, my God. But he does torch the U.S. in the Olympics, though, right?
Who won the Olympics? Just remind me.
Did he have a good game?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose he had a good game because everybody else has never been heard of and on their team. I mean, yeah.
For the record, I really don't like him. And I just really hate that that Houston has. I mean, they have Aaron Brooks, they have Yao Ming, they have Ron Artest. They even have Shane Battier. They have Dikembe Mutombo. I would say all five of those should be their Houston's pride and joy over Luis Scola, but Houston just, for some reason, loves Luis Scola. I don't understand. All right, next we will go over Saucy. Cole will run you over on this.
Sarunas Yesikesevich used to play for the Indiana Pacers, and they made a trade with the Golden State Warriors where they traded for Troy Murphy and Mike Dunleavy, and they traded Sarunas to the Golden State Warriors where they got some other good players. The problem was, they said the key to the deal was Sarunas Yesikesevich, and what happened was nothing, because he didn't even play for them. He came over, he might have played 1 minute a game if it was a blowout and they were down by 50. That's the only way he got into the game, because he was pointless. He's white, he's unathletic, and he's a point guard. How do you have a white, unathletic point guard? It's really impossible for him to play in the NBA, but he's the key to the deal. I mean, I do understand they wanted to get rid of Troy Murphy and Mike Dunleavy because they are pieces of shit. But as far as getting Sarunas Yesikesevich, I mean, come on.
Wow. All right, next we got Darko Milicic. Is that his name?
Darko Milicic, yes.
All right, he was in the same draft as LeBron and Melo, right?
Yes, he was the same draft as LeBron and Melo. And everybody knew that Carmelo Anthony was going to be a superstar. He was going to be one of the best players. He might have even been considered at number one if Cleveland didn't have the pick. But instead, the Detroit Pistons decided to go with something they call upside in the NBA, which is never a good decision. You always go with the player with upside. Marvin Williams, for example. Does anybody know who Marvin Williams is? Randy Foy. He's got upside still, I guess. He's 30, but he's got upside. Darko is still in the NBA. He plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. I bet none of you knew that. But he was drafted over Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Any of those players playing for the Pistons, they would have had a dynasty with the team they had. But instead, they ended up taking Darko and trading for Rasheed Wallace, and they had one good season. If they had Melo right now, they would be a top-tier NBA champion, possibly championship contender. But instead, they drafted Darko Milicic and have no one besides Antonio McDyess and two bad knees.
Antonio McDyess, wow. Oh, my God. So instead of getting Melo and having a dynasty, is what you called it, they took Darko, and they get eliminated by LeBron in the first round.
Yes.
Is that bad?
Yes.
All right. Next, we have Aaron Brooks. Only thing I have against him, he's short, and he looks like Chris Brock with Down syndrome. What do you think?
I actually personally like Aaron Brooks because he honestly beat the Lakers in three games in the playoffs by himself because he had no one else after Yao Ming was injured and Tracy McGrady thought he was injured.
Okay, but Derek Fisher was guarding him, so, I mean, anyone could score that.
Aaron Brooks is so fast, though. Honestly, he's a good player. He's solid.
When Derek Fisher is guarding him.
All of the time!
No. Simply no. All right, next we have Mike Dunleavy. I'll let Cole take this one.
Okay, Michael Dunleavy is pretty a pointless player. The only team in the NBA that actually wants him is the Los Angeles Clippers because his father is the coach. He wants him to be on the bench and support him while he's in the playoffs, while he's watching the game. He really can't play in the NBA anymore. He's just a white guy. He was in this Sarunas Yesikesevich deal. They traded two white guys for a white guy. It was probably one of the most pointless trades in NBA history because it's not going to help either team. But somehow Mike Dunleavy decided he's going to score 30 points a game but miss over 90% of his shots. I really don't understand how he does it, but he does. So I guess I got to give him a little bit of credit on his scoring, but his life and everything else he does is bad.
And how do you feel about Mike Dunleavy Sr. and the fact that Mike Dunleavy Jr. is the point guard?
Mike Dunleavy Jr. is a small forward because he's like 6'11". I mean, I don't understand how he plays that position, but he's certainly not a point guard. And as far as Mike Dunleavy Sr. goes, look at him. Just look at him.
Does he bring the ball up the court, though?
Yes, Mike Dunleavy thinks he's the point guard because they don't want to give the ball to Jarrett Jack. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I don't want Jarrett Jack to have the ball either. And they refused to play Jamal Tinsley because instead of playing basketball, he would rather shoot somebody. So Mike Dunleavy is sort of the point guard, I suppose.
All right, we'll go over to Dunleavy's teammate, Troy Murphy. Here you go.
Okay, here's my problem with Troy Murphy is the three biggest things in the NBA that you can't be are white, unathletic, and lefty. And somehow he managed to do all three. And he's 6'11", maybe 7 foot. And where does he shoot? The three-point line. He's Mehmet Okur Jr. He only shoots three-pointers, and he doesn't rebound. He's white. I really don't understand it. I really don't. The Pacers honestly want to have the whitest team in the NBA because Larry Bird's in charge, and he thinks the old days days are still here. But they're not. You're just not good. He's really not good. The only black player they have is Danny Granger, and he's a superstar. Maybe they should copy that a little bit and get some better players to help him, because having Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy is just the most stupid thing I've ever seen. Honestly, come on.
All right, we'll finish out strong, and we'll do LeBron James. I'll go first. All right, LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. He got most valuable player this year. He did everything for the team that had the most wins in the regular season. His team slowed down the playoffs and lost, but he's still the best player in the NBA.
See, this is where LeBron James, this is my problem, is he's kind of a little bitch. He really is. He talks about switching teams in 2010. If you want to be a championship contender this year, you don't talk about where you're going to go in a couple years. And as far as this whole no help shit, everybody talked when they traded for Mo Williams. Oh, LeBron's finally got the help. They win 50-some games, maybe 60, I don't even know. They say, oh, Mo Williams is there. Oh, he's got all the help he needs. But as soon as they lose in the playoffs, LeBron doesn't have enough help all of a sudden. Now, what is that? I mean, really, he has enough help in the regular season, but in the playoffs he doesn't? Either he has help or he doesn't, and he did. He's a ball hog. He needed to score 60 a game to win in the playoffs, and he didn't do it. It's clearly his fault they didn't win, and he is the most overrated player in NBA history. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he is so overrated, it's ridiculous. It really, really is.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.